Today's scripture passage comes from the Common Lectionary. It's Matthew, incorrect in here, 13:24 through 30, and then again 36 through 40. Listen for the word of God. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age." The word of the Lord. You know, when you buy a house, you buy a garden, whether or not you know how to take care of it. And that's how I started gardening. The first year of owning our house, I watched the garden, asking advice from various people. I had no idea what was a weed and what was a flower, except for the dandelions. I knew those. And I knew you could pick them and you could rub them under your chin and it'd be yellow. That's all I knew. That was it. But the garden had all kinds of other things growing up in it. And I simply watched. And my father-in-law came over and he said, "You have weeds. Those are noxious weeds. Those will take over your garden." Panic. So my new approach was, I have to get rid of them. All of them. They will destroy the garden. So determined, I started pulling a bit randomly. You know, velvet leaf, lily, creeping Charlie, grapevine. Well, I learned a couple things pretty quickly. One, I couldn't win. As soon as I got to the other end of the garden, they had started to come up where I started. You know that. Two, I always pulled up flowers with the weeds. So I armed myself with a much better solution, poison. And I fit myself with the appropriate gear, gloves, respirator, various mask, eye mask, and the poison wand. You know what happened. I took out most of the flowers too. So finally I settled on landscape fabric. Now that was going to work. And it took quite a few hours to sew it into the landscape. And the weeds can't come up through it. But as soon as you turn around, they're in every single crack. You can't win. I couldn't eradicate the weeds. So obviously today's lectionary gospel piqued my interest as one very concerned about weeds, at least in a literal sense. This passage, known as the parable of the wheat and the weeds, or sometimes the parable of the wheat and the tares, is one of several that Jesus preached on the kingdom of God. Matthew has gathered up these parables all together in his gospel and used them to explain his vision of the kingdom of God. So whether or not they were preached that way, they may have been preached at different times, but Matthew is trying to give us a very clear picture about the kingdom of God through these parables and through them grouped together. In this particular section then, Jesus is teaching. He's on a boat and the crowd is gathered on the shore listening to him. Now note, in the reading we had, there's a second part of this dialogue which is with the disciples. They've pulled away into the house. So we have two things going on. Jesus preaching the parables to the crowds. That is the only way he is teaching them. And then the disciples, he's explaining it. Two different audiences that he's teaching to, and it's very easy to mix it all together into one. But I want us to think about being one of the people in the crowd that hears only the parable. And I want you to think about what they heard. First, the listeners would hear wheat. They would not hear postmodern, wheat is bad, gluten-free, other grains. They would hear food, sustenance, community, and even festivals. Of the seven Jewish feasts, if you think about it, both the Feast of the First Fruits and Feast of the Tabernacles are feasts directly related to the grain harvest. It is a central, wheat is a centerpiece of the Israelite community, and it helped them keep their identity within that big Roman Empire. If we jump back 20 years before the birth of Christ, we would see Herod the Great, the same Herod that we read about in our Christmas story. And Herod is trying to ally with Queen Cleopatra in Egypt. And their goal? To keep their independence from the encroaching Roman Republic. It's not yet an empire. If you remember that history, both Israel and Egypt are independent of Rome. And they use this wheat crop as a means to stay strong in their midst. Rome needs those imports, and they need a good relationship. And they have so much else going on that it's not become a direct target yet. The Romans not only need that wheat crop, but to give you a sense of how much wheat they consume, the city of Rome gives out wheat for each citizen, a wheat dole, which by the time of Christ was around 100,000 tons of wheat, and that import came mostly from Egypt and Israel. So wheat not only provides sustenance for the body, but also financial stability for the state, the farmers. A recent article by Iowa historian Sarah Bond has focused on the presence of wheat trade frescoes along with Christian images in Roman catacombs. Now think about this for a minute. These images of faith are central. They're spending time and effort painting images of Christ in the Last Supper and the Good Shepherd on the walls of frescoes. And right along with it are these images of the wheat trade. That's how central wheat is to Israel. I think it perhaps is worth thinking about wheat in the way we might, as Nebraskans, think about corn. Think about these images of corn that we have. You all know what I'm talking about when I say knee high by the 4th of July. How about detasseling? I just found out too, detasseling is not a word in my word processor. How about corn mazes? Or maybe most well known, Nebraska corn huskers. When I was a kid, we used to drive my then retired grandfather out to the farm. He used to farm in south central Nebraska. And we always had to go look at the corn. And I remember his response was one of a person whose very survival depended on the success of that corn crop. So think about wheat in that context, wheat for Israel. Now back to our shore, our crowds would also hear weeds. In the original Greek, the word used here is zizania. It's a poisonous ryegrass that looks almost identical to wheat. As Barbara pointed out, especially when they're little, but even when they're big, you can't tell the difference unless you're an expert. The only way time you learn to tell is with the ear comes out, and then there those defining characteristics appear. But imagine the fear of knowing something this destructive, this poisonous, it's a poisonous weed, was growing along with good plants. Like my response to my weeds, their immediate response would be to destroy them. The servants respond with just this plan, but what does the manager do? He does not panic. He says, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. He told them that at the harvest, we will collect the weeds and destroy them and gather up the wheat and save it in the barn. So wheat is gathered to continue to sustain people even over those lean times. Of course, the bigger purpose of this parable is in its allegory, how the story reflects a deeper reality. If we understand the wheat as God's sustaining grace, then what are the weeds? Evil? Sin? Hate? Anger? At this point, those thinking about the allegorical representation began to worry about the weeds. I suspect that's how we all read that passage, too. When will they come up again? Will I recognize them? But Matthew reminds us not to worry so much about the weeds. And this is where we will talk about how he places it in his gospel. Following that parable, he immediately responds with two additional parables of Christ. So the listeners would hear this parable followed by two more, not the description we heard at the end that he gives to the disciples of the explanation of the parable, only these two after. And they're very uplifting. The first is the parable of the mustard seed. Think about, if you remember this one, it's where there's a little tiny seed that is planted and it grows so big it's able to sustain the birds in the nest. Little tiny bit of love of God and how much impact it can make. The one following that is the parable of the yeast, a similar kind of message. A little tiny bit of yeast can leaven a whole basket of flour. The spread of God's love. This is what he's hoping that our crowd will hear. However, we, in our postmodern skepticism, are probably thinking about the second part of the lectionary, where we have Jesus addressing the disciples in private. We want an explanation for the weeds, as did the disciples. They are asking the questions that we have. How do you make sense of the presence of weeds? It is here that Jesus reminds us about evil, about sin. Evil exists. Sin is here among us, and it is not always easy to discern. Like the poisonous zizania, it can harm us, especially if we start to concentrate all of our energy towards it. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, we have been celebrating in adult education, and furthermore, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in October. But Martin Luther spent a good deal of his young life worried about the weeds. Luther was a devout monk, and he was obsessed with being right before God. In the medieval church, a priest had to absolve you of your sins and assign penance before you could be in a state of communion and in a state of grace. Luther, however, always found himself in a state of sin and never felt worthy of communion. He spent so much time wrapped up in thoughts of sin. He worried about it. He was involved in it, consumed by it, that he was incapable of seeing God's sustaining love. He spent too much time worried about the weeds. It is in this context that Luther realized we are loved by God even while still sinners. He realized that God's sustaining grace overshadowed human weaknesses. This is the crux of the Reformation and the foundation of the Protestant tradition. Justification by faith alone. We can't eradicate all of the weeds, but we can abide in God's gracious love. God's goodness outstrips evil. Yet, how much time in our daily lives do we spend on weeds, on that that does not sustain us? Look at our magazine racks, the media, the internet. Like our scripture, we don't always know what the weeds are, but we do know that they leave us feeling isolated, hurtful, hateful, alienated, disinterested, and disgusted. We become ambivalent about the future of humanity and the environment, and become convinced there is nothing we can do about it. Many respond with fear. Throughout our history, and even today, groups have segregated themselves from society in order to keep out the weeds, in order to keep themselves pure. Note, though, in our parable, when the servants asked about destroying the weeds, that the manager said no, because we might destroy what is good, right, and true in the process. We might spend so much time concerning ourselves with weeds that we forget about the good nature of the wheat. As we are reminded in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Many of you have asked me what seminary is like. What is the experience of seminary, especially for somebody going back to school? This is a world where people are paying attention to the wheat and the flowers. To go, you find a group of people dedicated to providing comfort, loving help, honest solutions, and true healing for others. Their joy at the possibilities of living in out Christ's love is palpable. Their desire to live out the kingdom of God, very real. To abide in their love is humbling. But they do not practice joy and kindness without awareness of the weeds. They are quite aware, but they choose to focus on what brings nourishment, that which God will gather in the grain houses to nourish others. What are these? That's what we want to know. What are these? And our secular society does not direct us to them. But Jesus has taught us all of them. First, worship. Being in community to praise our triune God, to remind us from where we come, to celebrate our creation and thank God. To prayer. Prayer brings us into communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also with our brothers and sisters in Christ. What is more lovely than holding up someone else and their needs in recognition that we need each other and we need God? 3. Mission of God. This includes not only doing good for others, but doing so in the name of God, because it is how we live in our Creator, how we respond in love with caring for God's creation. 4. Reading the Bible. The Bible is God revealed to us, how God has responded and continues to respond to us. As a living document, it continues to provide us comfort, guidance, and strength through the Holy Spirit. Living these spiritual disciplines will help us learn to confront the fears from those things that draw us apart from God and one another. Imagine a day not caught up with harsh news and internet gossip, but Micah's scripture reminds us of what the Lord requires: to do justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly with our God. If we can learn to pay attention to what nurtures us, if we can run freely in the wheat fields, confident of their sustaining bounty, then the land will flourish and the flowers will grow. Amen.